This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we've already covered a lot of ground on this Friar Friday. We welcome you back to the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, Adam Klug sitting in for Mr. Scraby. If you want to reach Scraby, look him up in Dubuque, Iowa at the Scraby Family Compound. They are having a family reunion, so we're missing Scraby for a few days, but Adam's doing a great job filling in. Hope you enjoyed our countdown today. I was a little bit off center. Favorite board games. But Adam, you said there was a lot of conversation on the chat.
Yeah,
about
they really enjoyed that topic, Christmas.
They liked that. What did you see? Was there thumbs up and down on any of our selections? Like your pick of Risk is the number one
Risk
board game ever?
People liked Risk. I saw a little Guess Who in there.
Guess Who? Okay. I think it was like Trivial Pursuit, I think, was it not?
I find it more
No?
Not like it at all.
I don't know.
You never played Guess Who?
I guess not.
Chutes and Ladders in there?
Chutes and Ladders? Wait, Candyland? Did Candyland make it?
It did in the chat. Backgammon?
Backgammon's a good one. Yeah, I probably should have thought of Backgammon. Played many a game. All right, well, good. I'm glad everybody had a good time with that. Jackson Merrill was on the program as well in the 3 o'clock hour. Really fun. Good, entertaining interview, if I do say so. If you'd like to hear it, if you missed it earlier, you can listen anytime you like, 97.3thefansd.com or the Odyssey app, or better yet, just stick around. We're going to probably play it for you again in the 5 o'clock hour. Jackson and the Padres take on the Colorado Rockies tonight. Game one of a three-game series. The Rockies have indeed been the Padres' nemesis this year. Rockies are 5-2 against the Padres, including the sweep, which was back in May. Austin Gomber will pitch tonight for Colorado. He was the starting pitcher in the final game of the series here at Petco Park earlier this year. That was a game the Rockies won 8-0, and it still stands after 110 games as the only time this year that the Rockies have shut out their opponent. Padres can't let any of this stuff happen again. Time now to play some Chris versus the Fans. Chance for you to be qualified for a trip to the Rio, Las Vegas, including a two-night stay, dinner for two, and a day bed at the Rio pool. The Rio, Las Vegas. It's back. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, a brand new food hall, all ready for you now and your next Vegas escape. It's beyond the expected. It's beyond the strip. It's beyond your wildest dreams. It's the Rio Las Vegas. The Rhythm of Vegas. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Our chance for you, as I mentioned, to win that, be qualified to win the trip to Las Vegas. Show your trivia knowledge, something that Adam Klug is going to show us in the 5 o'clock hour today. Adam Klug, the winner yesterday of the Fantabulous Game Show. Now we're going to find out what he knows about sports. He's eager to show us.
Kind of feels like you want to put me in my place. Like you feel like I ran my lip a little much. And you want to show me
ran your lip a little much.
That's what it feels like.
I think you're going to do fine, but we'll see. I think there's some fun questions I have lined up for you in a little while. We have a big five before that. But right now, the rules for Chris versus the Fan, as read by Today's host, Adam Klug.
You have to make it through three rounds of questions. Each question will get progressively more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on to the next round. If you get it wrong, Chris has a chance to answer. If he gets it right, you're eliminated. If he gets it wrong, you still get to move on to the next round. If you get all the way through all three, you're today's qualifier.
You will win. Yeah. I don't think we had a winner yesterday. We had to go to the tiebreaker. So see what happens today.
Chris the Fan is presented by SD Fat Loss.
Yes, it is.
20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation.
I want to amend that. They said 20 to 30, but 37 over here.
37 if you're Chris Ello.
That's right. So you can get it done. All right, you want to pick a contestant today there? Bring him on. You're the host of the show.
Let's go with Alex in Cardiff.
All right. Let's do that. Alex?
Hello.
Alex is a good player. By the way, if you are a first-time player, which I don't think Alex is, then you
What's
get the
a first-time player? I'm only familiar with first-time player!
Yeah. If you're one of those, you'll get the first question for free, but pretty sure Alex doesn't qualify there. So here we go.
Where was the Super Bowl played last year?
Not that easy, I don't think.
Oh. Miami.
Miami says.
Sure.
You would think I would know. Was it in Vegas last year?
You would think I would know this, but let me just take a stab.
Taking a stab, kind of a stab.
Las Vegas.
It was Las Vegas. Okay.
Thanks, Alex.
Sorry, Alex.
Try Justin.
Justin. Hi, Justin.
What's up, fellas?
How are you?
How we doing?
Good.
Excellent. Thank you.
Turn down your radio, please, just to make sure.
Here we go,
okay.
Justin.
Will do.
He's got the radio turned down. Now we can play ball.
Which pitcher leads all of Major League Baseball in strikeouts?
Oh, I'm going to go with Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease. Good call.
He's got a comfortable margin right now in the strikeout race.
Question number two.
Number two. You know the Padres, by the way, Adam Klug. The only team in baseball that have two guys in the top 10 of the strikeout list. Cease and Michael
Kane.
Yeah,
we're using up all of the clock here.
Huh?
I'm going to give him a fresh... Well, the clock is running out here. I'm going to give him a fresh clock.
Fresh clock. Okay.
What team did these three players play together on? Tommy Pham, Charlie Morton, and Jose Alvarado.
Who?
He's currently one of the elite relievers on the Phillies.
Oh, that guy.
Tommy Pham, Charlie Morton, Jose Alvarado.
Who did they all play for together, Justin?
I'm going to put the...
You went out there. Can you say it again?
Did we lose him?
Can you hear me?
Yeah now we can.
What'd
you
say?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Was it the Rays?
He goes
the
with
Tampa
the Rays.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Got it.
Of 2019.
Oh, Justin's
well
a player.
Done.
Justin's a player.
Not right. First time.
No, but you're looking good. One
Let's
to go.
Let's go with round three. Going for the perfecto here, not even giving Chris a chance.
That's right.
Aaron Judge currently leads all MLB players with 39 home runs. Who is tied with Shohei Ohtani for second place with 32 home runs?
I'm going to go with Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt Jr.
This is bad luck for Justin because the Padres just played this team last weekend.
Yes, they did.
And I saw this guy play and I was shocked at how many home runs he had. I didn't know he had that many home runs. I believe it's Anthony Santander of the Orioles. Ah, tough break, Justin. You're a really good player. I know that. You'll win soon, just not today. Not today.
Let's go with Ollie.
Hi, Ollie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not a lot. Good to have you on.
Here we go.
Good to be on.
All right.
Which country is Wimbledon played in?
That's French. A scrappy question. Wait, what'd you say?
French.
France. Do you want to take another? I'm not going to give him another guess.
It's a first round one. Come on.
England. Sorry. Sorry about that. Oh, I don't know if he understood the question right, but maybe he's just not a tennis guy. Could be the case. All right. Well, gets another contestant into the fray. Burns more of Scraby's questions. That's what I like.
Let's see here. We are going to go with Terry.
Terry.
Hello.
Terry in Mission Valley. Hi, Terry. How are you, man? Hearing you too well for some reason, Terry. Are you
there? We're going to put him back on hold. We'll go with Aaron.
No, Aaron gets the call. Hi, Aaron.
How you guys doing?
Oh, that's better. Oh, I can hear you. I like it. All right, Aaron, good luck.
Gentlemen.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Aaron, what is the national sport of Japan?
Oh, my God. National sport of Japan. I think I might go with baseball.
I would think bigger than that, Aaron.
Bigger is an interesting word there, Chris.
I know. I was trying to give him a hint, but it was too late.
Oh, I know it's sumo wrestling. Damn it.
Give it to him. I say give it to him.
We're in a good mood on a Friday.
We're in a good mood on a Friday.
Sumo wrestling.
It is sumo wrestling. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Should we get one?
Thank you, guys.
Here we go.
Take advantage of this, man.
In soccer, what is the name of the field?
A pitch.
Pitch.
Winner. All right. Very good. The only thing that's bad about giving Aaron that one is that the rest of the contestants out there are going to get furious with you, probably.
After you just didn't give the other guy Wimbledon.
Yeah, I know. People get mad when they, oh, you're being unfair to Aaron. You know what? Yes, we are. We're big Aaron fans on this show.
At least you're being honest.
Yeah, we're cheating for Aaron. What can I tell you out there?
Here we go. Round three. Three pitchers are tied for the MLB lead in wins with 13.
Oh, boy.
Name any of the three pitchers.
Any of them.
There are three
any
correct
of
answers.
Any of the three pitchers. Chris Sale.
What was that?
He said Chris Sale. I think he might have a win. I don't know. He's got
Chris
it.
Chris Sale
is right.
The other two are Seth Lugo. Old friend.
Ah.
And Grayson Rodriguez.
Ranger?
Who?
Grayson Rodriguez.
I would have never got
Orioles.
That. Chris Sale's the only one I would have got, but that's all you needed to get. Aaron, congratulations. Stay there. Adam will get your information. You'll have a chance to win the trip to Las Vegas. For the rest of you, send a complaint note to Scraby. He loves those. We'll take a quick timeout. More Gwen and Chris is coming up as traffic in. All right, we'll get you that, and then back with a bunch of more stuff, including a big five.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski, and Gone South Season 4 will be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the show. 419 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., he'll be right back with us here shortly. We got a big five at the bottom of the hour for you. Later on in the program, our interview with Jackson Merrill, the should-be Rookie of the Year winner in the National League. Just going by what Adam Klug told me yesterday. 2 years ago, he had a position player who was really, really good, Michael Harris. And then you had a pitcher who was dominant in Spencer Strider. Adam Klug reminding us all yesterday that the position player, Michael Harris, was the Rookie of the Year. So will history repeat in 2024? I don't know. Paul Skeens has got a lot of support. But Jackson Merrill has been great, and he was great on with us earlier today. We'll play that for you in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed it the first time around, even if not, you might want to listen to it again. We've got some good news. According to our own, the great one. How did you find, by the way, I'd like to know, you know what, I got you here for a minute. Adam Klug is the, he's the program director of the station. I mean, he's the guy who makes it all go. And we appreciate him sitting in for Scraby here today again. But Adam, can you give us a Reader's Digest version of how you discovered the great Sammy Levitt and brought him to us a couple of years ago? Basically changing all of our lives forever for the better.
Sam,
because you had a, I mean, I imagine a few people probably were interested in that job.
Sam Levitt reached out directly to me.
Really?
A year or so before the post was ever been. Just said, I'd like to introduce myself, form a relationship. You know, I work within, at the time, I believe he was with the Sod Poodles, right? Which is within
the
Padres
Amarillo play-by-play guy.
And just... So I got to know him. I Zoomed with him and got to know him a little bit. And that's not to say anything about the job. The job wasn't available at that time. But then whenever...
Interesting. But that's a good...
He just said...
But that in and itself is a good bit of advice for everybody out there who might be looking for something.
And other people have done that as well. So he's not the only person. And I can't meet with everybody, but I try my best to meet with as many people as I can and expand my own network and just form relationships. This is a relationship business. And then... The job came available, whatever it was, a year later, and he applied for it and went through the interview process just like many, many other people did.
Yeah.
And he distinguished himself.
Now, we don't know who he beat out for the job.
I mean, I do, but...
Yeah, you do, but we don't. But just from my perch over here... You chose wisely.
Thank you. I appreciate
Sam Levitt
that, Chris.
Has been an unbelievably good addition.
I share your sentiment.
To our ball club here.
And the reason you bring that up is...
Because he's got some good news on Fernando Tatis Jr., but I want to say one more thing.
Sure.
There has not ever been a job that I've been replaced on that I loved the person who replaced me as much as Sam Levitt. Because... I was the previous pregame show guy.
Right.
To Sam Levitt. I'll have to say about that, thank goodness for Sam Levitt. As much as I enjoy doing the pregame.
Sure.
I enjoy not doing it more.
I'm sure.
All right. He was out today, though, and caught some footage of Fernando Tatis Jr., and if you're on the YouTube chat, you can see some of that footage. But Fernando's out there playing some catch, throwing the ball around a little bit. And, you know, Tony was talking with him earlier, and, you know, we really haven't heard a lot about Fernando. The only time you see him is during games when he's kind of sitting in the dugout watching. And you really don't know. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful to have him back and just know, like, 2 weeks from now we could get Fernando back? You know, I mean, Bryce Johnson's a, you know, a guy, and so is David Peralta, but come on. Your lineup's, like, so much better, so much more dangerous with Fernando Tatis Jr. back in it. And hopefully he's getting closer. Mike Schilt, did he not provide a little bit of an update? Let's hear it.
This morning with Ben and Woods. Here we
go. Okay.
Todd, he's still in a good place recovering, but not in a place where is cleared to ramp up baseball activity yet. But is hitting the cage. Looks good. Feels good. Is doing some low impact things that allows him to test and see where he's at, and then kind of take it from there. But we don't have anything definitive on Todd at the moment.
I'm just gonna call Fugazi on that. I think they have a pretty good idea when he's going to be back. I don't think Mike Schilt will want to tell us because they don't want us to be expecting him to be back a certain date and then something goes wrong and then they have to change it. They got to know organizationally about when Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to come back, and I don't blame them for not sharing it with us. I'm just saying. He was out there playing catch today, as you saw the footage from Sam Levitt. So keep your fingers crossed that Fernando's back sooner rather than later. Makes the Padres offense, which has been really good lately anyway, a whole lot more dynamic than it is. So that's the latest on Fernando. Michael King, if you didn't hear earlier, said he's fine, but did have some swelling after getting hit by that line drive last Saturday in Baltimore. Padres still have not made anything official as to who is going to be their starting pitcher on Sunday. Mike Schilt told Ben and Woods today, they got a lot out of him today. How is the relationship, would you say, between Ben and Woods and Mike Schilt?
I'd say it's good.
Yeah?
Strong,
pretty good?
Strong relationship.
Strong. Really?
Yeah, they went down, you know, when they went to spring training, they spent some time, they went out to dinner with him.
Okay.
I believe took him to P.F. Chang's.
They took him to P.F. Chang's?
I believe so.
Really? Was yes. that and that and I imagine you received the receipt.
I did. That goes on the old expense
So you took him out to dinner at P.F. Chang's. That was very nice of you.
Mr. Odyssey took him out.
Mr. Odyssey took Mike Schilt out to dinner. Because every time I hear them, they seem like they're not, I don't want to say combative, but I always feel like they're asking stuff and pushing a little envelope, and Mike Schilt is he doesn't push too far.
He can be a little protective with information.
Yes, right, right.
Right. Ben wanted to get out of him. There was a little awkwardness this morning when Ben asked him about Sunday's starter.
Yeah.
But he got a little information out of him.
He got enough. Let's play that for those who missed it from earlier. This is Ben and Woods trying to get information from Mike Schilt on who was going to start this Sunday.
Yeah, that's something I usually announce or we talk about in our media session before the game.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, I told you he wasn't going to answer that one, but I had to ask it, so there.
It's fair to ask.
Asked and not answered. I know people are just kind of curious, and there's a lot of explanations for it. I'm not trying to create a panic.
I don't want any panics either. I mean, effectively, if you really must know, Michael's still dealing with the comebacker, and he's a little sore from the comebacker he took in his last start, and he needs a couple extra days.
So they got what they wanted. Good job by Ben and Woods. And thanks to Mike Schilt for giving us a little info on Michael King. People wanted to know. I think in general, to me, this all is not rocket science. We're not trying to cure cancer. Just playing baseball games. I think it's a little comical how protective teams are with information like that. But this is not a knock on Mike Schilt in any way, shape, or form. It's just the general, right? Nobody ever wants to tell anybody anything about anybody. And, to me, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. If you just said, yeah, we'll see. Michael King might be able to start Sunday, might not. That's all you have to say. But that's just me. 4:28 is the time. Big 5 is coming up next on Gwen and Chris. Stick around. All right, moving along here at 4:33, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby is out, Mr. Klug is in, Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. About an hour from now, Sam Levitt takes over with the Padre pregame show, and then around 6:30 tonight, a little after that, Padres will get things started with the Colorado Rockies. Randy Vasquez will throw the first pitch of tonight's ball game. For San Diego, two-game winner Austin Gomber looms for Colorado. That's right, two-game winner. Here we are in August. But, need I remind you, 0.9 ERA against the Padres. Everything you think of with the Rockies against the Padres versus the Rockies against everybody else honestly just makes you shake your head. Hopefully the Padres can change the narrative this weekend. We have a big five for you. Lots of other things going on in sports that we've not yet touched upon. Jackson Merrill, our interview with him coming up in the 5 o'clock hour right now. Traffic. And then the big five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Gentlemen, I am happy to be back with you guys for a second day here going on the Big Five. How are you guys doing today?
We're really excited that you're here again, Adam. You've done a great job so far.
Fantastic.
We hardly miss Scraby at all.
Yeah, you guys kind of have to say that, don't you? All right, let's get started today on the Big Five.
No, we really mean that. That part we really mean. We hardly miss him.
Number five.
All right, guys. Novak Djokovic accomplished something today that he's never accomplished in his storied tennis career. He reached the finals of the Olympics in men's singles for the first time ever, defeating Lorenzo Musetti 6-4, 6-2. He'll now play Carlos Alcaraz on Sunday for the gold, which will be a rematch of the past two Wimbledon championships, each won by Alcaraz. Chris, our tennis aficionado,
yeah.
Who do you like in the gold medal match, Djokovic or Alcaraz?
I'll tell you what, Alcaraz is really, he's won both matches at Wimbledon, but I don't think it's fair to say he has his number. I mean, both were really incredibly competitive, but Alcaraz should win. I mean, he's in the prime of his career. I'm setting the stage for Tony Gwynn Jr., the world's biggest Djokovic fan. But the thing that's impressive about Djokovic is that he's been doing what he has been doing here the last couple of years, well past what should be anybody's prime, and still winning majors and still, you know, adding to his total. I think he's at 24. He ended up with a winning record against Nadal. He ended up with a winning record against Federer. I mean, even if you don't want to, you almost have to call him the greatest player who's ever lived. But I think in this case, you know, again, and it's on clay, which I think is a better surface for Djokovic than it is for Alcaraz. But this young guy is, he's a gamer, too. I mean, he plays, and he doesn't care if he's behind. He likes it that way, it seems like. You know, he likes the challenge of winning. I'll take Alcaraz, but it's not going to lessen my opinion of Djokovic any.
Tony, who do you like on Sunday?
Alcaraz. Djokovic is, first of all, it's amazing what he's doing at this age, as Chris just finished saying. I mean, I know he's not the Djokovic that we saw early in his career, but this dude is, he's tough to beat, man. He really is. And I think he cries a lot and, you know, has this fake chip on his shoulder. He is very good. But Alcaraz we can't say he had his number, but he's beat him twice, and that's more than anybody else can say. So I'm going to say the young man is going to beat the old man here in the Olympics.
Tony's an ageist.
Number four.
Yes, we've thought that about him for a long time now.
Yesterday, we discussed Justin Herbert's foot injury, even getting into the differences between plantar fascia and plantar fasciitis. Another West Coast NFL quarterback had an injury scare yesterday when it was reported that Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith missed the team's last two practices with knee and hip injuries. But today, Adam Schefter reported that Smith shouldn't miss any time. Tony, we'll start with you this time. What are your expectations this year for new head coach Mike McDonald and the Seahawks?
I don't know what to expect of Mike McDonald. Remind me where Mike, he's coming from Baltimore.
He was their defensive coordinator. Pete Carroll was shown the door after last season.
Yes, I remember I let my man Pete go. I don't know what to expect. I know he had a really good defense in Baltimore, but that doesn't always translate to having, you know, a good offense, and you need offense in today's NFL to win a bunch of ball games. He's going to have another terrific defense to kind of mold, if you will, in his first year. So I don't know what his expectation or what my expectations are for him, but I expect him to be, you know, competitive.
Chris, your thoughts on the Seahawks?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Adam Klug, for letting me know that Mike McDonald was not just a lead singer for the Doobie Brothers.
Michael McDonald.
That was Michael McDonald, yeah. But I had no idea. Thank you. I had no idea who the coach of the Seahawks was until you said that.
Did you even remember that Pete Carroll was no longer the coach?
I vaguely remembered that. And I think they're going to miss Pete Carroll. I do.
Oh,
I think they will. Yeah, I think they're going to have to pay the price for moving on from Pete Carroll for at least a year. I mean, they're in there with the 49ers. They're in there with, you know, one of the greatest coaches in history, according to pundits, Sean McVay. Maybe Arizona is somebody that, you know, they're on equal footing with. But, you know, Geno Smith had a, you know, kind of a magic year two seasons ago. Last year, I thought he returned to earth. And I don't see a lot there for Seattle. I think it's a long season for Seahawks fans. And I'm not going to say they're going to wish they had Pete Carroll, but I think Tony will agree with me. At some point, Seattle fans are going to appreciate what Pete Carroll did for them for a long, long time. I mean, you know, he may not have finished on top, but he put together one of the best teams in football for 15 years? Something like that. That's a long stretch, man.
Yeah.
And he did it at the age of like 80 or whatever
he is.
He was
the oldest coach for most of the time.
Yeah.
He's on the very short list of coaches who have had success at both the college and NFL level.
That's right.
He's won championships at both.
Good point. So even if you're an ageist, you have to appreciate Pete Carroll.
I knew Tony hated Pete Carroll.
Number three.
Matthew Boyer, the illegal bookmaker at the center of the Shohei Ohtani Ipe Mizuhara scandal, will plead guilty to bookmaking and money laundering charges next week. Tony, is this the end of the Shohei Ohtani gambling saga?
Man, I hate to in 2024 say yeah, but you never say never in these times. Some leakage could happen somewhere else. Somebody else could be involved. I hope not. I'm going to say I hope it is the end of it at this point.
Chris, are we done with this?
I hope so. I was never really one to, you know, jump in on this and try to bury Shohei Ohtani.
Scraby's ears are burning.
Yeah, I know.
Scraby was trying to bury him.
You know, look, it doesn't seem to me by anything that we've come across, and, you know, I know there's conspiracy theorists out there, but baseball did their due diligence, or said they did, didn't come up with anything on Shohei. You know, this guy is going to have to pay his price now for, you know, what he's involved in. And, you know, the interpreter's already paid his price. So, yeah, let's move on. You know, hopefully, you know what I think about gambling and sports. It's the one thing that scares me about the future of sports. But, you know, hopefully this situation, at least, they can put to bed.
Number two.
The Phillies are struggling right now, and Bryce Harper is mired in a 1-for-30 slump. After going 0-for-5 in Wednesday's loss to the Yankees, Harper said, "We've played, quote, pretty sloppy as a team. We've got to turn the page. We've got to cowboy up and play the right way." Cowboy up, wasn't that the old Red Sox thing?
That was the old Red Sox thing, 2004.
Kevin Millar
and, Bill Miller and all those guys.
On a scale from 1 to 10, Chris, what's your level of concern about the Phillies?
Zero. Especially Bryce
That's
Harper.
Off the scale.
That wasn't even a choice. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Bryce Harper opened the season in April going 1-for-30 or something along those lines. He didn't get a hit for the first month. And then Bryce Harper, you know, went crazy. I think the Padres, you know, came to town or something, and he got a re-upped. He came to town here. He's too good. So a slump like that doesn't concern me about him. I don't think it even concerns him. But I think it's fair that he says, you know, a team like the Phillies, they're expected to, you know, stay on top. And, you know, look, I was looking yesterday. I think you could win a few bar bets with this, but right now the best record in baseball does not belong to the Phillies or the Yankees or the Orioles. It belongs to the Guardians. It's crazy. But, yeah, Bryce Harper, he expects a team to compete for a championship this year, and they haven't been playing at that level. And that's what leaders do. They speak up.
Tony, let's see if you can play by the rules. On a scale from 1 to 10, what's your level of concern about the Phillies?
I can't think of a number lower than 0, so we'll just go 0 again.
He's going 0, too.
I think the proof is in the pudding at this point. I mean, they are allowed to have a little rough patch here, and Bryce Harper certainly allowed to go 1 for 30 and be everybody not panic because they've been here before. They're just, and the fact that it's mainly because they're not playing good baseball, that's fixable. Those things are definitely fixable. And I'm sure in another week and a half, we'll be talking about this, their offense like exploding and then back to the basics. So, yeah, no, when it comes to teams like the Phillies who like have shown their kind of, you know, their armor over the past few years, you tend to, at least I tend to go with the bag of baseball cards and a little bit of history.
All right, I'm going to call an audible and ask an impromptu question here before we get to number one. Do you guys still both think the Phillies are the team to beat in the National League after the trade deadline?
Well, yes, I do. You know, right now I especially do because the Dodgers look, you know, awful. I expect the Dodgers to look better come playoff time. The Brewers don't scare me. I think they've been made a nice run. Atlanta's just had too many injuries. And then the rest is, you know, the bunch of wild card teams. So, yeah, you're going to have to knock off the Phillies. You know, the Padres have had their problems with the Phillies going back to that, you know, championship series. So maybe somebody else will have to knock off the Phillies for them. I don't know. But, yeah, Phillies, you got to go through there to get to the World Series.
You agree, Tony?
Yep.
Number one.
Today was Skip Bayless's final day at Fox Sports 1. Mm. He tweeted out that he will now pursue other opportunities and is excited for what's coming up. This is a broad, generic question. You can answer it how you like, Tony. What do you think of Skip Bayless as a TV pundit?
I think his time is ticking. He'll probably get another show, but I don't know if it'll be in the same capacity we've seen the last two. And, you know, I actually had learned to be okay with Skip until the whole Shannon Sharp thing. I just thought the way he was disrespected him on live TV and almost kind of like put his nose up to it just really changed my opinion about him at that point. And so, you know, I don't wish to see anybody have to, you know, lose a job or, you know. But he's made a ton of money, so it's not like he's hurting, A. B, I just think the type of commentary that he is that he provides, I think, is starting to run afoul now. I think you see far more. He was once a journalist. This is not really journalism that he's doing now, but you see far more pundits taking kind of a different approach to how they talk about sports than I feel like Skip does. And I just think that style is becoming outdated at this point. And, you know, I think his time is ticking.
Chris has been licking his chops over here.
Yeah, I never liked Skip Bayless as an on-air guy. It's funny to me because he started out as a really, really excellent sports writer for the Dallas Morning News and may have done some other things before that. But so he cut his teeth on being a journalist that had to be accurate.
Right.
That had to check sources.
Yeah,
that probably
was,
had to
Chris
check.
Chris was licking his chops for this.
Yeah, probably had to check a couple of sources.
Talking about accountability here?
Yeah, have a little accountability and put stuff in print, you know, that he could stand behind. You know, I cut my teeth the same way, not in the same level as Skip, but I mean, I was at the LA Times. I learned this stuff. I hope that I've been able to bring a lot of it to sports talk and the way I cover sports now. Skip Bayless seemed to forget everything he learned. I mean, this guy just mouthed off and hoped for a reaction and then doubled down, you know, once he got that reaction. And I'm actually, you know, really happy about this in the sense, not personally for Skip Bayless so much, but happy in the sense that, what Tony said, that what he does maybe isn't playing as much anymore. And the audience has kind of found it old and tired. And I appreciate that. I hope the audience expects a little bit more from the people that are covering sports and covering everything.
If I'm not mistaken, he was like one of the first. He kind of founded the non-athlete tough talk, I feel like. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I remember him talking crazy about guys. It was on television. I mean, radio show hosts have been doing that for a very, very long time. But on TV, usually a pundit was a former player or something like that that would come down in the way that Skip did. But Skip was kind of like, the kind of founder of that style.
I think Skip Bayless is lucky to make it through his TV career in one piece, honestly. I mean, you guys saw what happened to the poor guy in Tennessee this week when Jonathan Simmons rushed the table during one of his radio shows. I got to believe there's a laundry list of athletes who wanted to do something similar.
You know how I know that Shannon Sharpe has a lot of self-control, because I often think about Jim Rome and Chris Everett.
Yeah.
And him going across to get him like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shannon Sharpe was much closer and a much bigger dude, too. If he wanted to, he could have just reached over and did anything he wanted. But he didn't. And, man, I tell you, that day changed my entire opinion of Skip. I mean, in my opinion, wasn't great on Skip, but it really took a turn for the worse after that.
What you guys just talked about essentially being threatened by athletes is why I found it so interesting that a recently retired athlete who played in the era of Skip saying what he said on TV in Richard Sherman was willing to be a part of that show and work with him.
Well,
hey, money talks.
Richard Sherman was controversial in his own right. So
Richard Sherman told him he was bad at life.
Right, and guys went in and sparred with him.
Like, went in on him. This is why he was still playing. And so, yeah, that was a weird combo for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Skip Bayless, what he does next. But yeah. I hope it's something in the private sector, because I've honestly had enough of him, and I had enough of him a long time ago. All right, off you go, Skip. Off we go, skipping our way to a break. Gwen and Chris continues with a look ahead, more of a look ahead to tonight's series against those darn Rockies. Game one. Also, we'll hear again from the great Padres rookie Jackson Merrill, if you missed it earlier. It's coming back up on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.